comes in.
Blog Talk Radio.
Bang, good evening and welcome to Scarecast. This is Dr. John along with Devin. Devin, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful evening here in Hollywood, California.
So it's a beautiful evening in Hollywood, California. It's a beautiful evening in Myrtle Beach here, except that we're probably going to get some massive flooding in the next 2 days. Holy smokes, I'm not looking forward to it, but it's going to be okay, so we'll make it through anyway. People in Myrtle Beach are pretty tough about that. Just been a crazy week getting over Hurricane Florence over here, and I know you've got some neat things coming up over there in Hollywood. What were you telling me is getting ready to come up?
Sure. So we have our 7th annual Sunset and Dine Food Festival. It's a night of food and drink that highlights all the restaurants here in the Sunset and Vine area of Hollywood. We have about over 20 restaurants and bars that will be serving sample-sized portions of their food and drinks to all the attendees. And then we do donate the proceeds from the event to a local homeless outreach organization. So it's a good cause, and it's a great night to come out and experience a lot of great cuisine from here in the heart of Hollywood, California.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of fun. I tell you what, if I can find time, I'll jump on a plane and fly over there. Otherwise, you can report about it next week, okay?
that'd be great. We wish we'd see you here, but I know you got a lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah, we do, and trying to weather the flood and everything. Now, tonight, we have got Paranormal Investigation on our side tonight. Daniel with M&T Paranormal. Daniel, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing well. Thanks for having me on. How are you?
I'm doing good. And Devin, say hello.
I'm doing great. Hello, Daniel.
Hello.
Good. So, Daniel, you've been at, first of all, you and your group hail from Marion, North Carolina, right?
Yes, sir. We are called M&D Paranormal and Cryptid Research.
Well, what I love about Marion, North Carolina is that's where my mother's family's from. So I know lots about Marion, North Carolina, Lake Marion. We've got some ghost stuff there, don't
we? Oh, yeah. We've got some good stuff going on. We've been welcomed with open arms, and it's been a wonderful experience since we got started in Marion.
Well, that's great. So now I want to jump right into something, and then I'm gonna let you give some background. You were telling me that you were doing some investigation this weekend, right?
Yes, sir.
Tell us a little bit about what went on. You do that, and then we'll talk a little bit more about you. But I love Paranormal Investigation. I do my share of it myself. Devin is out there. He's around some creeps and ghosts too. So Daniel, fill us in on what were you doing this weekend, and how did it go?
Well, actually, this weekend I was doing a cryptid investigation. I do both paranormal and cryptid. This weekend was cryptid, and it went pretty well. Had some good experiences in the woods. We have a few spots around here that are, we'll just say, active.
Now, when you're talking about active with cryptids, are we talking about Bigfoot or something else?
Well, we have had reports of both Dogman and Bigfoot in this area. I have yet to wholeheartedly come across a dog man, which I'm honestly pretty glad of. He's not exactly a fella you want to meet. We actually had some experience with what I believe to be a juvenile Bigfoot.
Well, really? Tell us about that.
Well, when we went into the woods, In this area we go, and I'm not going to give away the location because I don't want people going out and getting themselves in trouble. You know, you've got to be prepared, and you've got to know what you're doing. But as soon as we walked in, I heard this bird. We'll call it a bird. I did not recognize the sound the bird was making. A little further into the woods, and the entire time this bird, which was making a I guess you could call it a chittering sound, paced us to where we were going, and then paced us back to a certain point. And it, you know, it rained a little bit, and we were standing and just kind of taking in everything. It's good to stop and just listen when you're in the woods. Just listen and pay attention to your surroundings. Momentarily, there were drops of water started falling. So my mind automatically goes to, well, there's a squirrel. So I look up, and as I look up, there's probably, I would say, a 5 or 6 foot area of branches that just started making this incredible racket. And there was something moved through the treetops for probably about 15 feet and just stopped. And I couldn't lay eyes on it. It was pretty thick in the treetops, but it was much, much bigger than any squirrel or bird, anything like that. And the chittering bird stopped after that. And we know that, Sasquatch mimics. We know that for a fact. So I honestly believe that's what happened. We had a young one that was curious of while we were in the woods, and he was just following us and watching.
Really? Now, about how long ago was this?
That was 2 days ago. What's today? Sunday? Actually, that was yesterday. I'm sorry.
Wow. Any idea how big your subject was?
Well, this one, like I say, it's believed that the children tend to stay in the treetops because it's just safer. It's a safer area. And this one, I would have probably, just from the movement in the treetops, I would guess, you know, probably about 4 or 5 feet tall. And I can't honestly say I didn't actually lay eyes on. I just saw the auxiliary movement, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so it could have been 3 feet, could have been 4 feet. Who knows?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, it was big enough. It made quite an interesting ruckus in the treetops.
Wow, that is interesting. So how many of you were out there in the woods?
There was just the two of us at the time. It was myself and my girlfriend and partner with M&D, and that was actually her first duck.
Wow, did you happen to get any photographs that would lend themselves to showing what Bigfoot generally looked like?
Unfortunately, no, not this time. It happened so quickly, and I don't think that even through the foliage we would have gotten anything other than your typical kind of blob squatch picture. And when we have those, even if I feel like it's something, I don't bother sharing them.
Yep, blob squatch. That's a good phrase. I like that a lot. So made your name as being a group of paranormal investigators, correct?
I'm sorry, you broke up on me a little bit there. I didn't hear everything you said.
I'm sorry. You know what? It might be Bigfoot trying to keep us from talking a little bit. Anyway, you have made your name as a group of paranormal researchers. So tell us a little bit about how M&D was formed, and what are some of your signature additions and investigations that you've done?
Well, I myself have had experiences as far back as I can remember with anything paranormal. And by paranormal, it's kind of an umbrella term for anything abnormal. I've had experiences on top of experiences, and I've seen apparitions. I've had things moved. I've actually bled because of something. I used to have kind of a bully, if you want to go that way. I've actually bled twice. So I've had those experiences. And my girlfriend has had experiences, and her mom, who is the co-founder of M&D, between her and myself, she has had many, many experiences. I've worked in healthcare for a very long time. I've worked a little bit of everything in healthcare. The experiences that I've had have been positive for me, but I know that those experiences to everybody aren't always positive. So we kind of wanted, along with the research and to find answers, we wanted to fight the stigma and allow people to have a place to go and talk about their experiences. So we just we got together and we said, you know, let's do this. So we did this.
And it seems to have worked out. Now, I'm pleased to announce that you and your group will be up at the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. In fact, you'll be speaking on October the 20th, which is actually the 51st Bigfoot Day, the 51st anniversary of the Patterson-Gimlin footage. You know, we're going through now. I'm gonna get off topic, but I'm gonna get right back on topic. Right now, we see we've got a fellow up as a candidate for the Supreme Court, and we see people coming out left and right talking about things that he has done, and this and this and this, no corroborating evidence or anything. Now, I have been involved with some discussions about the Patterson-Gimlin footage. There are a number of people that say it's fake. There are even reports on how it was made. Now, I don't believe that. I believe it looks too real to be real, to not be real. And there are several folks in Hollywood, Devin, over there in your area, that have commented about the makeup of the fur and everything, because you can get down to you can take that Patterson-Gimlin footage and you can zero down into even to the area of 0.5 inch, and nobody knows how in 1967 that a fake suit could have been made like that. So so Daniel, what do you have to say about the validity and the veracity of the Patterson-Gimlin footage? I'm sure you're familiar with that, aren't you?
Oh yeah, I'm very familiar with that. I'm actually lucky enough to have a second generation cast of Patty's foot. I have that in our shop in Marion. But I've heard so many times that people try and debunk the film. And I've also heard so many times that every new piece of technology that comes out, they try and use it. They try and debunk the film, and they usually come up with an excuse, or not an excuse, I'm sorry, they usually come up with a reason why it's actually legitimate. The last thing I remember hearing is that she had the hurt leg. Now, forgive me, the correct terminology leaves my mind at the moment. It's late. So the quality of a costume just wasn't available back then for that. I believe firmly that film is real. And it's probably the only one that will never be disproven. Now that we're in the age of Photoshop, you can disprove just about anything. But just because of the generation of the Patterson-Gimlin film, it just makes sense that it's real.
Well, it seems to be real. I believe it is. And that's one reason why I like to celebrate it. I mean, there are detractors, there are fans, but I think it's a great thing to celebrate, and that's why we have the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. But anyway, we're glad to announce that you will be there at the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. Everybody check out BigfootDay.com. That's where you can find out. We'll be getting that information up very, very soon. Your panel will be on Saturday, so that'll be a great time up at Bays Mountain Park in Kingsport, Tennessee. Now, I tell you what, since you've got a lot of experience in paranormal investigations, Devin, you told us a story a time or two about an experience you had with the Hat Man.
Yeah.
And Devin, would you mind going back over that story? And Daniel, I'd like for you to hear the story and see if you can make any comments or if you've seen anything like this or had any experience with it. Devin, is that okay?
Sure, yeah, of course.
I would love to hear it.
Yeah, so I was actually walking. It was up in the Hollywood Hills. I was actually coming back down from the top of the hills back down to the Sunset Boulevard area, right in the vicinity of the Chateau Marmont, which is a pretty notable hotel. A lot of people know about it because John Belushi passed away there, and a lot of celebrities have had experiences there, and there's been a lot of paranormal activity reported there too. And so I was about a block away from it when I saw a shadow or a silhouette of a man standing on the street, not like on the sidewalk, but actually in the street. So I was walking down that same street, and I just kind of thought, you know, maybe it's somebody that's had too much to drink or somebody's standing there waiting for somebody else, but I didn't want to get involved. So I just kind of quickly walked by him. And as I passed him, I just felt these chills, and like my hair stood up on my arms. And so I walked a little bit further, faster. And when I turned around a couple seconds after I passed him, and there was nobody there. So the only thing I remember about him was it looked like a man wearing a hat and fairly tall. You know, I'm about 6'1", so he was probably taller than me. I just felt this weird feeling afterwards after I saw him, kind of cold, really like a weird chill through my body, and I just started running to get out of there because I didn't want to experience any more of that. So I think on our last podcast, we had interviewed a spirit cleanser, Raphael, who has worked with several people who have seen a similar figure, and apparently this figure has been seen all over the world and referred to as the Hat Man. So I don't think that I saw him I don't think he was coming for me or appearing for my benefit. I think I saw him as he was waiting for somebody else.
Just happened to be the right place at the right time, then.
Right, or the wrong place.
Well, it all depends on how you look at it. Definitely perspective.
Yeah.
There's a lot of speculation about the Hat Man that he's actually not a spirit, rather an interdimensional being. There's also speculation that the Hat Man himself is somewhat of a leader of the shadow people that are very commonly seen. I haven't ever seen the Hat Man. I've experienced quite a few shadow people. The Hat Man is a relatively new phenomenon as far as I can tell. But I always tell people, you know, trust your gut. And if your gut told you to get out of there, that's probably the best thing you could have done.
Yeah.
Yeah, always go with your instinct, because your instinct is the one thing that you can trust. If you get the creeps, get the heck out of there. Now,
yes.
Daniel, have you folks have never really had any experience with the Hat Man, correct?
Correct. I've never run across the Hat Man myself or any of our investigations. Plenty of shadow people. They're pretty abundant.
Like, where's the last one you have seen? Go ahead, Devin, please.
Oh, I just, you know, I'm open to the idea that if it wasn't the actual Hat Man that I saw, it could have definitely been a shadow person. I don't know that he has he didn't seem to be radiating as much, like, dread as what I've heard from the Hat Man. Although,
mm-hmm.
like I said, since it wasn't, I don't believe it was meant for me, so maybe I was able to kind of skate past it, but yeah, I'm not, you know, I'm open to the fact that it could have been a different shadow person, but it was definitely a man wearing a hat.
That's very interesting. Did you see the kind of trench coat that's described?
Yeah, it was definitely some sort of coat. You know, it's like not totally uncommon to see that type of outfit around Sunset Boulevard anyway, so that's why at first I just thought it was an actual person. But then as I got closer and passed them, you know, it became apparent it wasn't It wasn't a living human being, that's for sure. It was some other entity.
I've also heard that quite a few times when you encounter the Hat Man himself, he tends to have different anomalies with the eyes. Did you see anything around the eyes?
I did not. I didn't see anything unusual. I didn't see his eyes. It all appeared kind of as a black silhouette, so there wasn't a lot of detail.
Interesting.
Well, that's our signature story for this show, and I tell you what, it's something that's hard to forget. Now, Daniel, when you folks started, why don't you tell us what was your first exploration? What was the first paranormal investigation that you went on as M&D Paranormal?
Well, that's a good one, actually. Confidentiality with our clients is very important to us. But our very first investigation, we were told, yeah, go ahead and talk all you want about it. So there is a small hair salon in Marion. It's called Picture Perfect Hair Salon. And the ladies that run that place are wonderful, wonderful people. There's a great energy in the shop. It feels very, very welcoming. And they just thought, you know, they've had experiences there. They saw a man in old work clothing walk by their window holding a lunch pail like he was going to work and then just disappear in the parking lot. They heard women speaking that weren't there. You know, different phenomena, things moving, things getting knocked off, countertops, things like that. And they experienced shadow people. A lot of different things there, and they saw they weren't ever scared of it. It never made them afraid, but they thought, you know, they heard about us, and they thought, well, this would be pretty cool to have somebody come in and do it. So we were lucky enough to go in there. We've been in several times, and it's never let us down. We went in, and one of the more intriguing things that we actually caught on film is they had almost, it was kind of like Christmas decorations. It was snowflakes hanging from the ceiling. And we know that anything with the least resistance, a spirit can manipulate. Now, we caught these things moving at one point on video, but they weren't moving in sequence. And when we saw them, I actually started using them almost like K2 responses, and I could get them to turn different directions. Now, we always do a lot of historical research on the places that we go into as well, and we found out that this place used to be called the Depot Drink Stand, and it was just a little dive bar that catered to the railroad community that came through there. We also found out that there was a Civil War colonel that had gotten off the train one night. Somebody walked up behind him, shot him, killed him, and disappeared. It was an unsolved murder happening right there in front of the place. Now, like you said, we've been in multiple times, and the experience is we always catch something every time we're in. And I know orbs are very controversial, but we've caught some interesting orbs in there. We've caught different things moving. We actually caught a thermal anomaly in there that looks like somebody reaching up through the floor and trying to grab one of our other members' foot. It's very, very cool. The thing was with the hand is it wasn't hot, it was cold. The activity that happens in that building when you go in seems to spike at certain times, and then it will disappear and spike and disappear. And I really believe it's almost residual. It follows the same pattern that it used to when it was the Depot Drink Stand.
Wow. That's kind of cool. Do you have those pictures that I might be able to share those out on our website?
Yeah, I have some of those, and they're actually on our Facebook page. I have them posted up there as well, but I'll be happy to send them to you.
Yeah, would you email us like two or three of those, and I'll pop that on scarycast.com, and I'll also share that we've got some photos from you guys, and we'll also link to your Facebook page and your website. I think that'd be great. So now,
yeah.
you have really in downtown Marion, you actually have a shop for M&D Paranormal, right?
Yes, sir, and it's called lovingly just The Shop, and it also has a Facebook page. We're an eclectic gift shop. We're not faith centric. We have everything from Christian items to pagan items. We sell a little bit of everything, a lot of smudging material, because we do offer cleansings in places that need them. We've done several of those. I had a really cool experience with a cleansing not long ago. And a little bit of everything.
Tell us about
just some
that.
Gifty items. About the cleansing?
Yeah, tell us about that.
Well, it was actually... it was a good friend of mine, and they were having some issues. They have a young child, and he was looking at something that wasn't there, and he was becoming afraid. And they came to us, and we, you know, offered advice on how to cleanse. They wanted to do it themselves, so they did it, and it seemed to help with the child's problems there and get this entity out of the child's room. But it seemed to have went into their room. The cleansing, there's a lot of intent that you need to put into a cleansing. It's not just walking around with sage or whatever you use. And we use different items when we smudge, when we cleanse. But she started having nightmares. And there again, they started seeing the black mass, not quite a shadow figure, but a mass. So they called me and wanted me to come in and smudge, because I tend to negate activity, and there's reason for that. We won't go into now. It's a long story, but I went in and I was cleansing. I started in their bedroom and worked my way to the door. Now, their door was right at their back door. And when you cleanse, you always want to have an exit, because you're pushing whatever is there out. You want it to leave. So I was working around their door. I got to the top of the door for the third time. And the smoke, I was using sage at the time, and from the sage actually coalesced into a sphere. And just hung in the air for a minute, just like a ball of smoke, and just went out the door. Just boom, and it was gone. And it was one of those times that I wish I had a video camera running. It was so cool, so cool. And after that, they've not had any other problems.
Wow. That is interesting. That's one, Devin, that I believe our buddy Raphael would probably like to hear. He might not have had anything like that, but that's all great. What are some other stories that you've had? Let's do one more that's maybe interesting and kind of a little bit offbeat. If you can think one, I always like to do that, to just give us something that's not the standard thing.
Well, we have a place that we're working with in Marion. It's called MACA, and it's a place for artists is the best way to describe it. It has a theater in it where they put on plays. The Foothills Theater Group does it, and they have local handmade arts that they sell, and there's great energy. And they actually let us do ticketed events in there. We have two coming up in October, where we take groups of people in for full-on investigations. Now, they have an entity that lives in the basement. And, of course, we went in and we've done a full investigation before we ever took anybody else in there. We want to make sure that it's safe. We want to know what's going on before anybody else can go in there. So we were doing a voice box session, and we got a name off the voice box. And I've got to say, I'm not the biggest fan of ghost boxes because they can pick up a lot of random interference. But when we got this name in the same sentence, I said something that must have upset this entity, and I got called a very dirty word, which convinced me, you know, there was probably something going on. The ghost box, the spirit box, whichever one you call it, works off of AM/FM frequencies. And that particular word you can't broadcast. But the name was Luke. And we have since discovered that Luke is quite a showman. And the more people that come in there, the more interesting it becomes. We've had lights turn on and off. We've had people get touched. One of the more interesting things that happened to me, actually, while I was there, was I heard a growl. It sounded like a growl, and I took just a random picture behind me. And I kid you not, it looks like a cat looking at me from behind out of the dark. And I believe that there are animal spirits, but this would have been a very, very large cat. And
wow.
It showed up. We always take more than one picture, and it showed up actually in three of the pictures.
That's pretty neat. Yeah. I tell you what, stick one of those, if you're allowed, into the email, and we'll pop that up on the website. Because, again, this is just... it's just fun, interesting things, and I don't mean fun in a flippant way. It's always interesting to study the unknown. I mean, that's how we find out how the unknown can become known, is if we study it.
Yeah.
Not typically even in many colleges and universities, so it takes independent researchers like us to do that. And Devin and I are here earnestly trying to put all this out so that people can hear it and understand it and enjoy it. So that'd be great. Now, one more question, and after this question, Devin, I'm gonna turn it. I'm gonna let you grill our guest tonight. I've got one more question that I'm dying to know the answer.
Okay.
What about the power of prayer in protecting you from these entities? I'm sure you have a little experience. I'm just sure you have some experience in that. And tell us what you think.
Well, the one most powerful thing when it comes to protecting yourself is not even honestly your faith. It's your intent and your belief. So if you are a Christian and you believe wholeheartedly that when you pray to God that He will protect you, then that's what's going to happen. The same with anybody that uses any other medium. It's all about a belief system. We are much more powerful than what we allow ourselves to be. And we tell people, that's actually one of the first questions we ask when we interview before we investigate is what's your faith? From that point on, everything we do is based on their faith, because that's their belief system, that's their power. Does that make sense?
Well, it really does, and that's a statement I've never really heard made before, but I like it. So your belief system is your power. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Wow.
And so you pray with them or do whatever with them, and that's kind of how it works, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, we do. You know, when we cleanse, it's typically a Native American cleansing that we do. But if we came across a client that, say, wanted, you know, a Baptist preacher to come in, or a Catholic priest, or, you know, whatever their faith may be, then we would do everything we could to facilitate that. That belief that you have in your faith is incredibly powerful. I'm not sure that people really believe how powerful it is, but it's incredibly powerful, and it's very important.
I agree with you. My parents and my grandparents would agree with you. Devin, what do you? I'm gonna turn it over to you and start with a question to you. What do you think about one's belief system being all powerful and being able to protect you?
Sure. So yeah, it's interesting what you said, Daniel. I found that very relatable. John and I have had some of this discussion offline, but as an atheist, I haven't always had a strong belief or faith system. But I'd say in the more recent years, maybe five years or so, I have kind of recognized and acknowledged the belief and the faith that I do have, that while it isn't, you know, it differs from the upbringing, I you know, grew up in the church. I was a Methodist. I was confirmed and baptized and all that. But that was the first part of my life. But now in a, you know, later part of my life, I find some of my beliefs and faith kind of lines up a little similarly with, like, the Wiccan belief and faith system. Not completely. It's not completely aligned with that, but it's pretty close, having to do with nature and, like you said, intent, too, intent behind your thoughts and actions and the power that entails. So I find the way that you said that to be very meaningful and helpful for those of us that maybe don't necessarily believe in prayer or apply prayer to our life. There is other ways that we can communicate with our higher power or the higher powers that we believe in, and it's great to hear that that will, you know, that can protect you from evil.
Yeah, definitely. And if you, you know, in a case like yours, where you're an atheist, then you have to believe in your own power. Now, we as people are very, very powerful. And intent is what it all boils down to. You have to watch that intent. It will come back.
Yeah, I definitely feel that, and I felt it, you know, several times. And I think the more you tune into it, the more evident it becomes. So I did want to ask you, I have a new fascination through this podcast. It's the Mothman. We had talked a few weeks ago about the Mothman. So I'm wondering if you have ever dealt with Mothman or any similar type of entity, or if you can give me any more information on that.
Honestly, I have not dealt with him yet. It's on my bucket list. I want to go investigate that area. I know that he's believed to be a harbinger, and I think that we have more than one of those, depending on your belief system and your region, actually. I think it's a regional thing. But again, going back to like Native American culture, there's harbingers talked about all time in, well, really in every faith base. Mothman, whether he is an interdimensional creature or just completely paranormal, is fascinating because he's so rarely seen. I think I've heard maybe three reports since the big one that made him famous. And of course, there wasn't any tragedies like that one, but he's been seen, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, that, I'll just jump in here with a statement. Well, maybe I've got a fourth one for you from one of my books. I'm going to let Devin keep on, and then when we're done,
Daniel, I'll share a story with you. How about that?
Okay, that'd be great.
All right, Devin, back to you. I just wanted to jump in with that one because it's pretty good story.
Sure. Yeah, I'd love to hear that.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if in your work that you've done and your explorations, have you incorporated or have you paid attention to numerology and things like that? Because that's something I've been getting a lot more into, is kind of paying attention to the time, date, when these things occur, when things are seen. There's like the 11-11 events. Those are very interesting to me lately. So I'm just wondering if that's ever fit into your work or if it's manifested in any of your research.
I have researched it a little bit. I've tried to research a little bit of everything. Numerology, it's incredibly fascinating. But it's something that hadn't resonated with me. I do read cards and coins.
Mm.
So I believe in, divination and the uses of that. But I can't deny some of the accuracy of numerology and astrology, things like that. I've had my numbers read, and I can say they were dead on accurate.
Yeah, there's another message of divination that I have done a lot in the past. I haven't done it for a while, but I call it sorts. It's SORTES. I think it's actually pronounced sores. The version that I had been taught that I had used is it works if you're in a place with a lot of books, so like a library, even if it's just a home library, or even if somebody just has a bookshelf, and you basically ask, you formulate your question, and then you kind of randomly pick a book, or somebody gives you a book, and you basically hold the book in the palm of your hand and allow it to open to whatever page it naturally is going to open to. And then without looking at the page, you place your finger onto the book. And then you have to believe 100% that the answer to the question that you just formulated is right underneath your fingertip. So then you read the statement in the book. Sometimes it's weird how exactly accurate it answers the question, but a lot of times it's more metaphorical, so you kind of have to figure out what it's trying to tell you. But it's actually eerie how much success I have had with that. It's kind of a fun thing to do with other people, but it's also really weird when it hits on something that you might not be ready to hear.
Well, and that goes back to our own power, I think.
Yeah.
Anything like that, you're putting your intention, your wishes into what you want to know, and the universe at large. My teacher used to tell me the answer is always yes. So when you ask the universe a question, you'll get an answer. The question is, will you understand that answer? And they come in many forms. I can't say that I've ever heard anybody do that, but that's fascinating. I think I might try that.
Yeah, it's definitely worked for me quite a few times, and I've had other people that it's worked for also.
Gentlemen, there's another way that you can do about the same thing. And if you have a question, an important question, think about it very carefully. And then a number will come to you. And that number will correspond to one of the Psalms in the Bible. And I have had that be extremely accurate. Again, I think you're channeling information and it's being delivered to you in the format that you need for it to be delivered in. Whether you're putting your finger on a passage or you begin reading a song. But I think, again, combination of what both of you said. Daniel, you were talking about how you are basically the center, and you're the one that controls all this. And Devin, you came up with another that was a really good nation for a lot of them, and I've just presented another one. Edgar Casey, the world-renowned the sleeping psychic. Someone said, who's the best person for me to get a reading from? And Casey popped right up and said, you are your own best. And he was certainly on the money when, you know, about everything that I've seen. And so I think that corroborates, Devin, your method, and Daniel, your approach one particular method being your intent. So I think we're all three of us are talking, whether we're in Marion, Hollywood, or Myrtle Beach, we're all talking about the same thing, which is a little bit reassuring.
Mm-hmm.
Devin, I'll be quiet now. I can't help but jump in. So you know me, I talk too much. Everybody says I talk too much. I'm gonna put a sip on my mouth now.
It was making me think, you know, back to my earlier kind of forays into this topic, and you know, I did have several experiences with psychics. And so I think, you know, it does go back to the thing, like Daniel mentioned, it's you have the power inside you, but sometimes you need somebody to help you bring it out. And I think if you can kind of believe a psychic that they're going to be able to bring that out of you, I think that can be a good first step into kind of exploring this type of thing. So I've had a couple psychic experiences that weren't that great, but I've had a few that were just eerily spot on. And I think it's because, you know, I did truly believe that what I was about to hear was going to be part of the future or part of an unknown that we were going to find out through this means. So, you know, I'm definitely interested in that. I think it's really important to talk about these type of things and let people know that when they experience something like this, you know, a lot of people will say that they don't believe them, but there's definitely people out there that are willing to listen to it and are open to it.
Well, and that's the thing is, people don't know how to listen anymore. You know, the world in general is about response. We don't know how to listen. We don't know how to listen to ourselves. We don't know how to listen to the universe when it talks to us. We don't know how to listen to deity when it talks to us. We don't know how to listen to nature when it talks to us. And if we could learn to do that, I think, generally speaking, we would be so much better off.
I agree. And, you know, I think I mentioned this before, but I believe that we are being attacked. All of our senses are being attacked everywhere by advertising and social media and news and, you know, all sorts of way that people try to get messages through to us, even through cell phone waves. I believe there's radio waves, cell phone waves. There's all this stuff that your brain can pick up and has to tune out. And after a while, it gets to be to where some people can't tune it out, or they aren't aware that they're not tuning it out. It actually takes a skill that you have to develop to be able to tune out the things that you don't want to let into your mind and your brain and your consciousness.
A good example of that one, when I talk about things like that I like to give, is when I grew up. I'm originally from Tennessee, so coming to Base Mountain is, you know, that's a homecoming for me. But in my early years, I grew up in the woods. I didn't have a lot of light pollution. I didn't have a lot of pollution of any kind. And now living here in Asheville, it's everywhere. There's a lot of things that people don't realize it's affecting them. Like you were talking about radio waves, microwaves, anything. But when the electricity goes out, it's like a whole different world.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that if people really notice that, but it's a totally different world when there's no power.
That is true.
I love it.
I just went through it with the hurricane. Sure is.
Yeah. It makes you listen. It makes you hear things. You'll hear things that you can't explain because you've not heard them in so long. And it's, to me, honestly, it's a wonderful experience. And I don't think even when people camp anymore. They don't get that experience because everybody's into glamping. You know, they don't go out for nature, truly.
Well,
exactly.
I do go camping, and I do it to connect with nature, and so I'm going to, you know, incorporate this into my camping next time to kind of be aware of this lack of interference or lack of, which I think is, you know, what a lot of people do seek when they go camping, but they might not, as I mentioned, you know, people don't always know how to really tune everything out. So if you're camping and you're on your cell phone, I would count that as an unnecessary distraction that is preventing you from actually doing what you're trying to do.
Yeah. And when you're out there, if I may go a little, what we affectionately call woo-woo on you, when you're out there, if you listen and you're able to really tune your thoughts, almost meditate, you will hear the forest actually speaking to you. You know, you'll hear songs almost. And over this weekend, I experienced a new interesting device that's actually made in Sweden, I believe it was, by a community of people that completely rely on plants. And this device, you have a rod that you push down into the dirt, and it goes into the root system, and then another clip that clips on the leaf, and that plant actually plays music. It is the absolute coolest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
And it kind of goes along with, I'm sure you've seen the studies that they've done with plants and lie detectors. And, you know, to see if they react to stress and things like that. It kind of goes along with that. But this community goes as far as they have a gate that is powered and operated by a plant. And if somebody walks up to the plant, the gate, and the plant recognizes them, it'll open. If it don't recognize you, it don't open.
That's really cool.
Daniel.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I got to say this. Daniel, I got to get some information on that. Devin, we need to look into that, don't we?
Yeah, for sure.
It's it was one of the coolest things, and we sat and played with it just to see if, you know, well, I mean, we use scientific method in all of our research. We can't just take it at face value, so we've done some experiments, and we played with it, and we couldn't make it do anything until it was hooked up to a plant, and each plant we hooked it up to had a different sound, a different song. It's just so cool.
I'm speechless. That's hard to do. Yeah. Well, Daniel, please, if you can shoot an email, when you shoot your email, please mention just how we can find out about that. We need to get on to that. That's on a number of levels. Has to do with some of the research that I did when I was at the Ryan Institute and some of the research Sir Rupert R. Sheldrake did, the great British bio. And, yeah, that's wonderful. There was a book called about the community Findhorn in Scotland where plants do some amazing things. So I'm glad to hear about this very much. Thanks a lot. Well, I'll tell you what, it's we're getting close to our 1 hour mark, and we're trying to learn to contain ourselves so when we hit the airwaves, we'll know how to do 1 hour. So what I'd like to do is let's do a plug. We'll go with our guests, and then Devin, then I'll wind up, and then we'll have another edition of Sperrycast for the record books. So Daniel, what would you like to plug this evening that you got coming up, or anything that you'd like to announce and tell everybody about?
Well, I think I would just like to tell everybody to check us out. We have quite a few things coming up in October. The first 3 weekends in October are completely full for us. If you look at our Facebook page at M&D Paranormal Encrypted Research, I have all of those events listed up there. We have 2 ticketed investigations to go on. We run the shop. You know, we do monthly gatherings at the shop so people can come communicate, talk about experiences. We do little presentations on various things. I'm working on some great stuff with Asheville Cryptid Society and the Cryptid Guy. We've got a whole bunch of stuff going on, and the easiest way to find out is just look at our Facebook page, because our web page is under construction at the moment. But there's a lot of good stuff.
Okay.
I have some great evidence out there too.
Well, that's good. Thanks for letting us know, and we'll get a link up on our website when we shoot this out tomorrow and let everybody know. So that's great. We really appreciate it. Devin, what have you got to plug?
Yeah, well, I just wanted to mention we have a new listener of the podcast. It's a friend of mine. People will know him from the television show Car 54, Where Are You?, or the movie 3 Days of the Condor. It's my friend Hank Garrett. He's an actor who's been working for many, many years in the industry, and he listened to our podcast where we talked about the Addams Family. So he wanted to talk about that further because he does know Jackie Coogan, who played Uncle Fester. He also wanted to discuss Gorgeous George, who you mentioned before on the show, and a couple other things. So I think we'll be able to have him on the show sometime in the future. I think he'd be excited to talk to us.
Well, that would be wonderful. Definitely like to have you on there. Thank you very much. And I guess my plug is going to be Charlotte CryptoCon, October 6th, Lake Norman State Park. We're going to have the head researcher for Normie the Lake Norman Monster. I'm going to be talking about faster than the speed of light particles and the structure of the universe. John Dixon, who's a field investigator for Tennessee MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network. He will be there, and we'll have some really great people. And one other thing I'd like to say is my very good friend Jay Seals just has a brand new book out called Harbinger. It is number 1 in the religious science fiction area. Please go check it out. Jay is a great friend, and I'll let him know maybe we can have him come on for a minute sometime next week or the week after. I'd love to have him here on ScaryCast, wonderful fellow from Clarksville, Tennessee. Family's been in the entertainment business. Dad was Dan Seals, who had that mega hit Bop, and his uncle was Jim Seals of Seals and Crofts. Great friends for most of my life. So, hello, Jay. Hope you're doing well, and we wish you the best. So I've got to thank everybody. Thanks to Daniel with M&D Paranormal, and thanks to in fact, Daniel, will you come back on? I'm sure we can talk about more stuff. You want to?
Oh yeah, definitely. I'll come on anytime you want me to. I love to talk. It's one thing I do well.
Oh gosh, Devin, you're going to be in trouble with 2 talkers. And Devin, thank you very much for being our co-host. And I guess I'll say on behalf of you and me, we'll have another great issue of ScaryCast coming up next week. And I just hope that I make it through the flood. So, ladies and gentlemen, don't get scared. Listening to ScaryCast. Thanks a lot. See you all next week.
Thank you, fellas. Have a good one.
Thanks.